The following is a class on the Srimad Bhagavatam. Fifth Canto, Chapter Number 18, Text Number 38. Given by His Grace, Sriman Sankarshan Dasadhikari. Recorded on November 8th, 2010, in Kaunas, Lithuania.
So today we are reading from Srimad Bhagavatam, Fifth Canto, Chapter 18, Text Number 38. Om namo bhagavate vasudevaya. Om namo bhagavate vasudevaya. Om namo bhagavate vasudevaya. Karoti vishvas tati sanyamodayam. Yasyepsitam nepsitam ikshiturgunai. Mayayatayo brahmate tadashrayam. Grabno namaste guna karma sakshine. Karoti vishvas tati sanyamodayam. Yasyepsitam neksitam ikshiturgunai. Maya yatayo brahmate tadashrayam. Grabno namaste guna karma sakshine. Translation in purport by His Divine Grace Srila Prabhupada. O Lord, You do not desire the creation, maintenance, or annihilation of this material world, but You perform these activities for the conditioned souls by Your creative energy. Exactly as a piece of iron moves under the influence of a lodestone, inert matter moves when You glance over the total material energy. Sometimes the question arises why the Supreme Lord has created this material world, which is so full of suffering from the living entities entrapped within it. The answer given herein is that the Supreme Personality of Godhead does not wish to create this material world just to inflict suffering on the living entities. The Supreme Lord creates the world only because the conditioned souls want to enjoy it. The workings of nature are not going on automatically. It is only because the Lord glances over the material energy that it acts in wonderful ways, just as a lodestone causes a piece of iron to move here and there. Because materialistic scientists and so-called Sankhya philosophers do not believe in God, they think that material nature is working without supervision. But that is not the fact. In Chaitanya Charitamrita, Adi 6.18.19, the creation of the material world is explained as follows. Yadyapi sankhya mane pradanna karana yadahaita kabu nahi jagat srijana nijashishta shakti prabhu sanchare pradhane ishvarera shakti tabihayate nirmane. Atheistic Sankhya philosophers think that the total material energy causes the cosmic manifestation, but they are wrong. Dead matter has no moving power, and therefore it cannot act independently. The Lord infuses the material ingredients with His own creative potency. Then, by the power of the Lord, matter moves and interacts. Sea waves are moved by the air. The air is created from ether. The ether is produced by the agitation of the three modes of material nature, and the three modes of material nature interact due to the Supreme Lord's glance over the total material energy. Therefore, The background of all natural occurrences is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. As confirmed in Bhagavad Gita, Maya Yakshena Prakati Suyate Sacharacharam. This is also further explained in the Chaitanya Charitamrita, Adi 5, 59-61. Jagat Karana Nahe Prakati Jadarupa Shakti Sanchari Yatari Krishna Kare Kripa Krishna Shakti Prakriti Haya Gauna Karana Agni Shakti Lauha Yajche Karaye Jharana Attaeva Krishna Mula Jagat Karana Prakriti Karana Yajche Ajagalastana. Because Prakriti, material nature, is dull and inert, it cannot actually be the cause of the material world. Lord Krishna shows his mercy by infusing his energy into the dull, inert, material nature. Thus, Prakriti, by the energy of Lord Krishna, becomes the secondary cause, just as iron becomes red hot by the energy of fire. Therefore, Lord Krishna is the original cause of the causing manifestation. Prakriti is like the nipples on the neck of a goat, for they cannot give any milk. Thus, it is a great mistake on the part of the material scientists and philosophers to think that matter moves independently.
Bandeham Shri Guru Shri Jata Padakamalam Shri Guru Vaishnavamscha Shri Rupa Sagrajata Sagana Raghunathan Vitam Tam Sajiva Sadaita Savaduta Parijana Saitam Krishna Chaitanya Deva Shri Radha Krishna Padan Sahagana Lalita Shri Vishakhanvitamscha.
So, have you ever seen a machine without an operator? Even this little flashlight here requires an operator to turn it on. Doesn't turn itself on. Or an automobile. Any gadget or machine. It requires an operator. You can study every gadget and every machine throughout the whole universe. You'll see that every one of them requires an operator. So therefore I can conclude the gigantic cosmic machine also must require an operator. This is scientific conclusion. If every single gadget and machine throughout all of the existence requires an operator, then the gigantic machine must also require an operator. The scientists are supposed to be open-mindedly investigating the what is reality. So why they cannot see this simple scientific truth? Because they have an agenda. Agenda means they have a motive. They want to kill God. They want to deny God. If they were open, they could see God. If they were true scientists, a true scientist, he must be open-minded. If they were open-minded scientists, real scientists, then they could see there must be God. Because they have a desire to deny God, therefore in the name of science they deny God. This Dr. Stephen Hawking. He says the universe came out of absolutely nothing. But where does Dr. He Hawkings get the scientific proof to back this up? I call him He Hawkings because the asses go hee haw, hee haw. So Dr. He Hawkings. So where is the scientific evidence to prove that anything comes out of nothing? I've been using this example everywhere. I just used it in Russia the other day also. Where can you make popcorn? Can you get out of an empty pot? Has anyone here ever made popcorn out of an empty pot? No, it has never been done. You have to put some oil and some kernels in that pot, then you will get popcorn. What's the Lithuanian word for popcorn? Popkorna. And in Russia also, they said, so it's a very universal word, popcorn. And you don't get out of an empty pot. There must be something in the pot in order to get the popcorn. So to say the universe came out of nothing means they need to go in the kitchen and make some popcorn. Then these scientists will understand you can't get something out of nothing. There has to be an origin for the existence. Now, what you call that origin is not such an important thing. The name you give to that origin, that is not very important. But one has to understand there is an origin for existence. So what name we will use to describe that origin? You could say the origin. That's what Brahmaji says. Brahmaji says the origin. Ishvara sarvabhu, Ishvaraha paramakrishna satchitananda, anadir adir. He says origin. He describes that is origin, adir. The word God also means the origin. So we can say the word God also. We don't have to use that word. We can say the origin. We can say the summum bonum, the absolute truth, the source of all energies. Or we can say God. So there has to be a source for the existence, that's a fact. Who can deny saying that existence is originless? It's a preposterous proposal. Preposterous means absolutely ridiculous. To say that the existence is originless. So, we followers of the great Vedic scientists, we understand that there is in fact an origin for existence. And we understand that origin is a person. That is also a scientific principle. because you don't get persons out of that which is impersonal. You are all persons here in this room today. Did any of you come out of a rock? Were any of you born from a rock? No, we came from persons. We had our mother and father. They had mother and father. Persons come from persons. They don't come out of impersons. So, therefore, since so many persons are existing, we can understand scientifically that the original origin of everything must be a person. This is not a leap of blind faith. This is scientific proof. This is philosophical understanding. Logical analysis. It is not blind faith. Actually, we Hare Krishna people reject blind faith. Blind faith is the pastime of sentimentalists. We are not sentimentalists. We are scientists. We want to understand the truth as it is, without any compromise. And we've been given the techniques how to do that. Just like I've many times given the example, when I was a student in high school, the teacher told us H2O equals water. She did not ask us to blindly accept this formula, but she took us to the chemistry laboratory down the hall. Wake up back there. This is for important information. Please wake up. This will save you at the time of death. Please hear carefully. Don't sleep. So, the chemistry teacher took us to the laboratory, and she had us do it. We combined two parts of hydrogen with one part of oxygen. And lo and behold, what did we get in that test tube? Lo and behold. That's it. Like, or you could say, wow. We got water in the test tube. So we didn't have to blindly take the teacher's word that H2O equals water. We saw it happen right there in our own test tube. In your school, do they do that? You've done a chemist taking chemistry yet? Chemistry? Not yet? Okay. And so, in the chemistry class, the student will have the opportunity to produce water. So, in this way, there's no question of blindly accepting that H2O equals water. It's something that one can prove to oneself scientifically by actually doing it. So in the same way, when our great teachers such as Brahmaji tells us that Krishna is the origin of existence, he does not ask us to accept it blindly. Any more than the teacher asks us to accept blindly that H2O equals water. Just as the teacher has given us the manual by which we can actually combine the hydrogen and oxygen and get the water, the Vedic scientists have given us the laboratory manual by which we can directly meet God face to face. We can meet God face to face and see how everything is emanating from Him. See it with our own eyes. Simply, we have to purify our vision, that's all. Premanjana charita bhakti valochanena santak radayeshu velokayanti yangshamu shundaram chintyagranasvarupam govindamadipurusham tamaham bhajami. If you will anoint your eyes with the salve of love of God, this is the laboratory instruction by Brahmanji. If you will take the test tube of your consciousness and you will purify that test tube with the ointment of love of God, Prem Anjana, then the most amazing thing will happen. Within that test tube of your consciousness, God Himself will appear. You will see God directly. Within your heart, you will see Shyam Sundar, the threefold bending form of the Supreme Personality of Godhead will be fully manifest. The yogis, when they become perfect, they see Paramatma. But the bhaktas, when they become perfect, they don't see Paramatma, they see Shyam Sundar. So in this way, we have been given the perfect laboratory manual. So all we have to do now is go to the lab and perform the experiment. And what is the laboratory called? ISKCON, the International Society for Krishna Consciousness. It's a huge worldwide laboratory, you see, with many branches in many places all over the world. Go to your nearest ISKCON laboratory and apply the Prem Anjana to your consciousness by hearing about the Lord, chanting about the Lord, remembering the Lord, serving the Lord, serving the Lord's devotees, taking prasadam, cooking prasadam, cutting the vegetables, scrubbing the pots, mopping the floor, cleaning the toilet, collecting money, donating the money, spending the money for Krishna in so many ways, building temples. What's happening with the project now? The new temples, it's coming up. How soon will they be ready?
Very little by little.
Very little.
Very little, little by little. Huh? Very slowly.
It's happening slowly. Try to speed it. You must speed it up now. Speed up this new temple project. I mean, put the energy into it. Turn up the fire on the burner, you see. Let's get this new temple built. You see. The more we become active, you see. Otherwise, I see devotees sleeping like back there. If there's no big project, then everyone just sleeps. So let's do a big project so everybody can wake up. Let's finish that new temple, you see. Let's make a huge, glorious project successful here in Kaunas. You should see in India how they're bringing up new temples everywhere. Everywhere, big, huge temple projects coming up all over India. I mean, everywhere, it's just amazing. Everywhere you go, it seems like that every town you go, it seems there's an ISKCON temple being built there. In Delhi, there's like, what, three or four temples in Delhi now. Bombay, three or four temples, a new one coming up. Just in one city, there's so many different temples, ISKCON temples coming in. So this city, Kaunas, is a very major city in this country. So this city should have, you should make this new temple project very, very successful. Everybody should work hard and make money and give money for this project. Don't be greedy. Work hard, make money, and give as much money as possible to build this temple. Everybody should be contributing something every month from their paycheck to help build this temple. So in this way, by always being active in Krishna consciousness, then that the most amazing thing will happen. Krishna will become fully visible to us within our hearts. And we'll be swimming in an ocean of bliss 24 hours a day. So, I can ask now if there's any questions. Yes.
You said that persons comes from persons. I can believe this, but it's hard to believe for me that impersonal material nature also come from person, from Krishna.
So, we can understand that persons come from persons. But how can something impersonal come from a person? Look at your fingernails. Look at your fingernails. They are impersonal, aren't they? Did your fingernails ever talk to you? So you are a person, you are producing fingernails. So what is it difficult to understand that a person can produce something impersonal? The proof is right there on your hand. Okay, next question. Yes.
Sometimes there is miracles, like Draupadi has this miracle pot, that from nothing come something. How it could be?
Was that the actual thing? The thing was that whatever was in there would satisfy. Whatever she cooked in there. Is that how the pot worked? Is that how the pot actually worked? It was an empty pot and things came out of the empty pot? Whatever she cooked would expand unlimitedly. Which is it? The difference. From what I understood the pot, whatever she cooked but could be expanded unlimitedly. She would put something in the pot, but then that something could be expanded. That was my understanding of the pot. Was it just an empty pot? No, it was the pot she could put into, whatever was in there would expand unlimitedly. That was my understanding of the pot.
There are some mystical power yogis who can make something from nothing.
No, that is called Prapti Siddhi. There's one yogi, he can go like this and produce a watch. But then they found that the jewelry store across the street was missing many watches. He wasn't manufacturing. It's called Prapti City. He can reach like a pickpocket across the street and pull it out of the store and bring it in his hand through Mystic City. He's not doing it out of nothing. He was so many watches, he was going like this, but then they say all the watches are missing from the jewelry store across the street. He could reach through his yogic power, he could reach across the street and steal the watches through the walls. He could steal the watches and bring them into the room. That's called Prapti City. He's not manufacturing out of nothing.
Scientists can say that it's a miracle, like universe come, it's a miracle.
It's a miracle. It's a miracle to me that people believe these scientific rascals. That to me is miraculous. How the people can believe them, that's a miracle to me. How they can believe these rascals who say that something came out of nothing. What could be more amazing than that? Kimmascharya mataha param. There's nothing more amazing than this. They say everything came out of nothing and everyone applauds them. Very good. You're a great scientist. Very good. But where is the scientific experiment they can perform to protect something of nothing? They have no scientific proof. Science means observation and experiment. You perform the experiment, you study, you observe the results of the experiment. And you make your scientific theory. Where do they have any experience of any scientist taking nothing and getting something out of it? Never. It's never been done. So how they can accept this is a scientific truth? They're simply rascals, cheaters, and bluffers. Ashrals, svinyas, like them.
But why people believe this scientist and why the scientists try to...
People believe the scientist because the people want to enjoy the kingdom of God without God. The scientists give them a way to kick God out. And they think, oh, very good, now we can enjoy, we've kicked God God has been kicked out of reality, now we can enjoy, we don't have to worry about God anymore. There's a saying in English, when the cat is away, the mice will play. So they see God as the big cat. Because God is there, we cannot play. We cannot enjoy our senses unrestrictedly. We have to be afraid of God for punishing us for our sense enjoyment. But now we are very grateful to these scientists like Charles Darwin and all of his disciples that they have given us a way now that we can enjoy without God, without any fear of being punished by God.
Kaip būtent veikti, neprisišant prie tų visai rezultatų ir tiesiog veikti iš pareigos.
In material nature, souls are conditioned.
Material nature what?
Souls are conditioned. Position.
It controls our position?
No, they are conditioned.
Condition.
They have some limits. Everybody has limits by material nature.
Yeah.
So then I am acting. It is hard to achieve results, and how we should act if I acting but I cannot achieve results. I just act for.
You have to act outside of the conditioning of the material nature. That's all. As long as you act within the material nature, the conditioned material nature, then you're restricted by the material nature. So the simple solution for you is instead of acting as a conditioned soul, you have to act as a liberated soul, that's all. Then there's no limit to what you can accomplish. So how do you act as a liberated soul? You simply have to follow the instruction of a liberated soul. That's all. If you follow the order of your spiritual master, strictly follow his instructions 24 hours a day in all times, places, and circumstances, then you are no longer acting within the material nature, the conditioned material nature. By strictly obeying your spiritual master's instructions, you're acting as a liberated soul. And in that position, there's no limit to what you can accomplish. So do you want to become free from the shackles of the material energy? Would you like to become free from those shackles? And all you have to do is completely, totally embrace the order of your spiritual master. He is ordering you to become a pure devotee and to spread this Krishna consciousness movement. So, do that. Become a pure devotee and spread this movement. Don't simply live a life of eating, sleeping, mating, and defending. And if you follow this instruction, you'll be a liberated soul. You can go down in history as being one of the greatest revolutionaries in the history of this planet. If you simply totally embrace the order you receive from your spiritual master. Without any hesitation. Any other questions?
About sincerity, when I am...
What word?
Sincerity.
Sincerity.
An example, when I am bowed down to Srila Prabhupada and chant his pranama mantra, I don't understand the Sanskrit, and if I chant something in Lithuania, I can be sincere, but then I'm chanting...
Well, then you should do both. You should chant it in Sanskrit and in Lithuanian both. That way you can learn how to chant it better.
Sanskrit ir lietuviškai vertimą galite supratau.
O kaip su Mahamantra?
What to do with Maha Mantra?
Well, you should. The Maha Mantra, you're praying to Krishna to engage you in his pure devotional service. So before you begin your rounds, you can just pray in Lithuanian, "My dear Lord, please bless me, I can be fully absorbed in your pure devotional service." "My dear Mother Radharani and my dear Lord Krishna, please fully engage me in your devotional service." And then start chanting your rounds. Now you know the mood. Now you know the meaning. And in that way you can chant in that spirit, begging for to buy Radharani and Lord Krishna to engage you in pure devotional service. We don't want you to be like a parrot, you know, blindly just saying words. We want you to know the meaning. It's very important you know the meaning. It's like in Fiji Islands, in Tavayuni Island, there's one parrot, he just goes, "Haribol! Haribol! Haribol!" He has no idea what he's saying. He thinks, if I go Haribol, they'll feed me. That's him. That's a fact. Whenever he goes Haribol, they'll feed him, give him something to eat. "Haribol! Haribol! Haribol!" He has no idea what it means, you see. So don't you be like Haribol, the parrot. You know what you should know what you're saying and know what you're chanting. Any other questions?
When I have some trouble, I ask Krishna for help, and I feel Krishna's presence, and he is helping me. When the problem is solved, I forget Krishna. I have now this quality as Kunti for ask more troubles, so how practically feel Krishna always?
Just ask for troubles. Ask for more troubles. Krishna, please always keep me in difficulty. Please, Krishna. So I'll always be calling out to you. Actually, you are blind. You're always in difficulty, but you don't realize it. You have to see that actually, even without asking for difficulty, you're always in a state of difficulty. Therefore, you should always be begging for shelter, but you're foolishly thinking, "I am not in difficulty now." That is your problem. You're imagining there's no problems now. But actually, death is always there, ready to jump on us at any second. So we're always in a very problematic position. That you must always remember. And then you'll be able to take shelter of Krishna at every minute. I'm constantly reminding myself it's a very dangerous position. Just at any minute in an automobile, I can be killed by a crash, you see. Danger at every step. I can slip on the stairways and hit my head and die of a concussion. There's danger at every step. You never know. Somebody might get killed also. Some murderer, a robber may come, or an assassin may come. You never know. You may have a heart attack, all of a sudden, boom, finished. You never know what's going to happen. So you better be always alert to the fact you're in a dangerous position right now. So you had a question also? Yeah.
Should we chant Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhara Shrivastava Gaura Bhakti Vrinda before chanting our rounds?
It is very nice to chant them. Prabhupada never instructed us that we had to do that. But many devotees started doing that when the Chaitanya Charitamrita was published. But if you hear that japa, when Prabhupada sat and did japa with the devotees, you hear that japa tape. Prabhupada didn't chant the Panchatattva mantra before he started chanting that round of japa. But in that original kirtan recording, Prabhupada did chant it. He chanted Vandeham Shri Guru, and then he went into the Panchatattva mantra three times, and then Hare Krishna. So that instruction is especially meant for kirtan. It's not required for japa. It is our standard part of our kirtans that we will chant Panchatattva and then go into Hare Krishna, especially in the arati ceremony when we do the formal kirtan. But it is not required for japa, although it's you like to do, it's very nice.
When I first time come here, I was teach to do like this.
You can keep doing it then. It's very nice to do. When I was trained, Prabhupada told me I was trained up how to do bhakti by the expert guidance of Vishnu Jana Swami. He told me, you've been trained up by Vishnu Jana Swami. He says, Prabhupada said, you have been trained up under the expert guidance of His Holiness Vishnu Jana Swami. So, he never told me to do that. When I joined ISKCON, nobody did that. So I was the way I was trained, so I don't do that. But if you're inspired by, you can do that. It's very nice. You don't have to do it, but you can. I'm right. Since you were trained that way, you're inspired that way, continue doing that. It's a very nice thing. So you continue doing, but it's not a policy that everyone has to do. But you connect that with your original training, so for you it's very good. You feel connected with your original training when you're a young bhaktan, and that's very good. So for your position, I would say it's very good you should continue doing that. It helps you to feel your roots when you were trained how to be a devotee. It's very good.
If then some new bhaktas come to me and ask how to chant, so I always explain that first chant Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya, and at the end also chant this.
That's nice. You encourage them, you can say, I'm doing like this, and I find it very helpful for my japa. I was trained this way, and I recommend you do it also. That's very good.
Ir sakot, aš taip kartuoju, ir jūs taip galite kartuoti, tai gerai yra.
You can continue teaching them to do that. It's very, but it's not absolutely required, but it's very nice. So you train them to do like that, you may continue training them to do like that. Anything else now? This is our last chance. All right, Shama Sundari.
How many times I should read Bhagavad Gita to understand Krishna?
Understand Krishna fully?
Krishna thoughts.
Krishna, what's the last word?
Instructions.
His teachings. Yes, I recommend that you should read it unlimitedly. And read it again and again and again your whole life. Because every time you read it, you'll get some newer realization. And you'll be amazed. This is amazing. And then you'll read it another time and you get even more realization. Well, I knew Bhagavad Gita was amazing, but I didn't know it was this amazing. This is incredible. And then you read it another time, and it becomes even more amazing. So there's no limit. You should just read as much as you can for your whole life. Keep reading again and again and again and again and again Bhagavad Gita. You can read millions of times. And you will still get newer and newer meaning from that book. The Bhagavad Gita is Krishna himself. How many times do you want to associate with Krishna? Well, I think once was enough, thank you. No, if Krishna is there, I want to associate with him again and again and again and again and again. More Krishna, more Krishna, more Krishna. Hand me the Gita. So this book is Krishna himself. So I want to associate with Krishna again and again and again and again and again. This is nothing more dear than Bhagavad Gita. So how many times have you read it so far?
I'm reading now.
First time? All right, I'm very, very pleased with you, Shama Sundari, that you're reading Bhagavad Gita. So please pray to Krishna that you can fully understand the meaning of every word of the Bhagavad Gita. Please beg Krishna to help you understand him. And you can, whatever you don't understand, I want you to write me an email, ask me questions. I'll give you personal guidance on how to understand Bhagavad Gita. Someone, do you have my email address? Here, give her the card. You can always use the Google Translator if you have to. If you can't write in English, just write it in your language, and then you can use the Google Translator to translate it. But I want you, whatever questions you have, you write me. Okay. Very good. Okay, next question.
When we chanting japa in proper mood, what is happening inside me?
Cleansing.
Vyksta valymas. Ar patikslinsi klausimą.
It's like you have a mirror and you have dust on the mirror. It's huge, thick dust on the mirror. When you take some proper solution and cloth and you rub, what's happening? You're cleaning the dust off the mirror. So, the present moment, the mirror of your heart is loaded with the huge quantity of dirt, which has been accumulated for millions of lifetimes. So every time you chant, you're purifying the mirror of the mind. So that gradually, 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 your vision will become perfectly clear. And when it's perfectly clear, you will see Krishna standing there. Any other questions?
If he wanted to forget Krishna, can it be like this, like many souls will...
Many souls?
Souls. Living entities will live yuga after yuga and never come back.
Yes. Sarvasya chaham hriji sanna vishto mataksmatir gyanam apohanam cha. Krishna says, I am seated in the heart of all living entities. And from me come remembrance, knowledge, and forgetfulness. So someone is very stubborn in their desire, they want to forget God. Krishna will give them such consciousness that they will not remember him for thousands and millions of lifetimes. Because they desired to forget God. They were so envious of Krishna. Krishna said, all right, I'll let you forget me then. That's by Krishna's arrangement. And then they become purified by suffering in the material life for many millions of births. They become freed from the reactions from their sins. Become a little pious. And then if they can get the contact with the pure devotee. Brahmanda Brahmite Konya Bhagyavan Jeev Guru Krishna Prasade Pai Bhakti Lata Bhij. Then, after wandering through all those millions of species of life, somehow they can, by the grace of Guru, they can get the contact with Krishna consciousness. And they take advantage of that bhakti seed that he plants in the heart. And they become very, very fortunate. So the pure devotees, they travel all over the world to plant the bhakti seeds in the heart of as many souls as possible. And those who are fortunate to realize the great blessing they have attained, they take up this chanting process very seriously and following the regulated principles. In this way, they will gradually get the full awakening of love of God. So our time has run out. We're getting ready to hit the road now. We'll be going back to our ashram and then taking breakfast and then heading up to Riga for Prabhupada's disappearance day. And we've already scheduled to come back after we're going after Gaurapurnima. We will go to India and we will come back here to the Baltic states after that time next spring. So kindly work very nicely here in the direction of your temple president, Sriman Kedarnath Prabhu.
Prašau,
to make this Kauna Center a grand success. Cultivate your own spiritual lives very nicely. Chant at least 16 rounds regularly. Strictly follow the rules and regulations. And work together nicely as a family of devotees. For the pleasure of Sri Guru and Sri Krishna. And if you do so, I guarantee you, your hearts will be overflowing with bliss 24 hours a day. So we thank you very much. Achila Bhai. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Srimad Bhagavatam ki jai. Jai.